Which?
Oh, this guy's not on either.
Oh, this one can't get it.
We'll get it on. So anyone come get this guy? It's not wanting to turn on. Oh, there we go. Got it now. Excellent. Good. All right. Excellent. X10. Y'all in a good mood tonight? Y'all happy to be saved? I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy God loves me and I'm born again. And so if Pastor preaches hard tonight, you know he's not in a bad mood. It's just a hard message. And so Exodus 10 and verse 1. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, and one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field, and they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers and thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the days that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron are brought in again to Pharaoh. And he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that they shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, with their flocks and our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. All right, let's pray, and we'll talk tonight about how long. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight to preach your word and preach it as you would preach it. I pray you would be rightly divided. I pray that it be anointed with power, and I pray also, Lord, it would be presented in your way of having it presented. And Lord, I just give you me, your servant. Lord, I was going to preach this message on Sunday, Father, but it seemed like you brought it up tonight for us tonight. And I pray you please you. Lord, you speak to us in a great way. And I pray that, Lord, if you had a plan for me to preach it tonight, you would make that plan be accomplished, Lord, and speak through me now, through your spirit, through your word, Lord, and to your people and every individual tonight. I pray that they would just draw a circle around themselves and not think about how this applies to somebody else, but would have a tender heart towards you and think how is this to me. And Lord, we pray you to work tonight in a mighty way, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was doing some work studying my Bible today and getting ready for tonight's message, and I was right in the middle of studying something. And if you sit in a parking lot, you get people. If you sit in a big parking lot, a lot of times, and something about me, I have a target that says, come ask him for something. And so I get a lot of people ask me for stuff and come up and say stuff, and so I usually, nothing new to me, interesting people to come to you sometimes and ask for things. It's just used to it. I keep my doors locked and through my window. But I'll talk to them. And a guy came up to me, and I was right in the middle of studying something and writing some things down. And I saw him by the corner of my eye, walked up, and he said, he had a sprayer in one hand and he had a rag in the other. And he says, can I wash your windows for you? I don't think he was just a good Christian wanting to walk around and wash people's windows, because he loved window washing, probably. He wanted some help and stuff. And I was just, I'm a single-track person. My mind just, and I said, not right now. And so I kept studying, and as I got done studying and finished up, the Lord said, I want you to witness that guy. And I wasn't quite done, and he came walking by me again, looking for somebody else's car to wash their windows. And the Lord said, go talk to him. And I was still not finished, and I said, okay, I'll get back to it. He's still in the parking lot. And then, as often happens when you're supposed to witness to somebody, he disappeared. So then I had to go look for him. Lord brings him to you, and then you don't witness to him. Then you got to go look for him. So off I go looking for him, and I drive around. And eventually, I find him back in the parking lot. So I roll the window down. I said, hey, what's going on? He says, hey, can I wash your windows now? I said, I don't need my windows washed. People notice the rest of my car is dirty if you did that. And so I said, do you want food? And he says, yeah, I would like some food. The guy was kind of a rough-looking guy, and he'd seen some hard days, and, you know, I'm a pretty good judge of people, and saw that he'd had a few rough days and probably some bad decisions in his life. And I said, hop in, which I don't recommend you do, but don't you do that unless you are me. But I said, hop in, and I was in a parking lot, and I drove him over to Burger King, and I said, what do you want? And we got him a few things, and so I started witnessing to him, and he was saved. But the Lord wanted me to talk to him. I knew that, and so we were sitting there talking, and he started, you know, eating his food and stuff, and I witnessed. I asked him, and he said, he knew he was saved because Christ died for him. And he said, oh man, you should have met my mom. My mom was the most godly Christian in the world. Of course, I had to accept Christ, you know. And he was kind of joking about how godly his mom was. I said, so why are you in this situation? The man was 50 probably. Why are you walking around a parking lot looking to watch people's windows? And he says, well, I'm living alone with a bunch of people in an apartment and sleeping on the couch, and my wife is in another place, and my kids are in another place. And I said, what happened? I just wanted to help the guy, and he wouldn't really answer that. He started this story saying my wife and my kids. He started this honestly and told me my wife and kids, and then I caught him in the story. It didn't make sense. And I said, you just said you guys were all together in the house, and after I bought the food, the story changed a little bit. And I said, well, why are you this? And he didn't want to answer. And he didn't have anything he really did wrong. He just had some bad luck. He had the job situation was bad. And generally, can I say this? Generally, people aren't on the streets and homeless and look really, really bad because the job market's bad. It's beyond that. That's generally true. We're not living in Ethiopia where you can't find something to do, okay? And stay off the streets. There's all kinds of everything, shelters, everything else. And I couldn't get an answer out of him. And I sat there and I thought, you know, this guy is sitting next to someone who could help him, and I could help the guy. And I would love to get him, figure out why he isn't with his wife, fix him and his wife's relationship. You know, the Lord, of course, could do all that and through the principles of the Bible. Get his kids back with him, get him some character, get him cleaned up, help him get a job, and do all that stuff. We've done that stuff before. I'd love to help him. But he just didn't want really to face the problem. You just wanted to keep dodging answers. He had some drinking problem. I could tell that by just being with him. I've been around alcoholics my whole life. I just thought, well, why won't you? You know what? You're not deceiving me. I just thought this, but I'm not going to force myself, and especially if they're a fool. Why don't you just say, you know what? I've made some bad mistakes, and I want my life rebuilt. How miserable will your life have to get when you're walking around a parking lot and trying to wash people's windows before you just decide? He wasn't a dumb guy. I'm talking to him, he was coherent. He was well-spoken and had a good vocabulary. Probably at least finished high school, I'm sure. And I just kind of wonder sometimes, why do you want to do that? Why don't you want to just change and get fixed? How long are you going to live like this? Because people will go on like that with their whole life kind of in chaos and kind of where they're in substandard and not where it could be, and not just financially, but spiritually, emotionally, relationships. They will go with a bad marriage for 10, 15 years and never face up to their situation. Very common in life. And that was just today. And I said, where do you want to go? I'm heading south. And he wanted to go to a different parking lot, so I gave him a ride and tried to get any answers out of him. He didn't give me any answers, and I gave an invitation for church. And he wasn't real busy. He's not working. And I said, there's my number. Call me. He lives right by where we pick people up. I said, I'll pick you up on Sunday if you want. Oh, you know, I might do that. You want to pick up Sunday? Well, let me think about it. he isn't going to come. He's going to stay the same. And sometimes you look at somebody and say, why would you want to stay the same when you're like that? But I think God looks at all of us a lot and says that. God looks at me sometimes and says that, because you know what? There's things in my life that stay the same for a long time, and I intend them to be different, but I keep on going back. And I kind of stay weak in the same kind of area. And I see here a question's asked. In the middle of verse 3 is asked if Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? He'd just been through first six plagues. I mean, the frogs, the crops being destroyed, and the animals dying, and the lice, and he'd been through all these different things. And he says, how long, Pharaoh, are you going to go and keep on not humbling yourself before me? Are you going to keep on refusing. How long are you going to do this for, Pharaoh? The answer with some people is a real long time. Matter of fact, he kept on doing it till he was dead in the Red Sea. He kept on doing it. How long will you do this? Pharaoh's servants said to Pharaoh, verse 7, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Was Moses a snare unto them? No. Moses said, let my people go and God won't give you a plague. No, I'm not going to let your people go. Okay, here's a plague. Okay, well, I'll be good. Let the plague go away. Okay, plague went away. Okay, no, you can't go. Okay, here's another plague. No, I won't let your people go. Okay, here's the plague. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let the plague go away. Moses wasn't doing it. Moses was being a messenger. And Pharaoh kept on saying no. And God says, how long are you going to keep on refusing to humble yourself before me and get on your face and say, you are God, and I'm going to do what you want. I'm going to let those people go. You are bigger than me. He never would. At the Passover, he said, fine, get out of here. And then he said, you know what? I'm going after him. He never did humble himself. Probably when the waves were going over the top of him, he's probably shaking his fist, furious at God. That's not fair. Why'd you do this? Never humbled himself. And even in his destruction, it's amazing that people do that. Just want to ask a question tonight, and I'll preach another message on this in a totally different way about how long. It's a very common phrase in the Bible. How long? A few different things on this. Number one, how long will the Lord put up with your wickedness? Let's go to Exodus 16. How long will the Lord put up with your wickedness? That's right, Pharaoh's wicked. How long will the Lord put up with your wickedness? How long will God put up with it? See, God has a limit where he says, I'm not putting up with it anymore. Just like you have a limit. You know what? I have limits. There are certain times, I was talking to Brian and Mark about this last night. I was talking about somebody who just said, I illustrated this, you know what? I'm trying to keep you from jumping off a cliff and I'm pulling your hand. I get other people jumping off the cliff. If you really want to jump off the cliff, I've got to let go and I'm going to help somebody else. I don't want you to jump off the cliff, but you're yanking against me. Okay, I got to help somebody else. Don't want them to jump off the cliff? No. But you know what? There's a time where I just say, you know what? You want to go do wrong. I can't spend forever trying to get you to turn around. You've got to make some effort. You've got to decide you're going to turn yourself around. And God does not go forever. God at a certain time says, all right, fine. You don't want to follow me? I'm not going to put up with your wickedness anymore. Exodus 16, we see this a lot in the Bible. Exodus 16, verse 27, it came to pass where that they were out, and some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. They went out to go, by the way, it's funny, they went out to go work on the Sabbath day. God told them not to do it, and they didn't find what they were looking for. They spun their wheels. God didn't bless your work when you violate his principles. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day. Don't do that, and don't work on the Sabbath. It says, how long refuse you to keep my commandments? Genesis chapter 6. How long would the Lord put up with our wickedness? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also is flesh, yet his days are 120 years. Interesting, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 150 years, and there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, the sons of God came into the daughters of men. They bare children unto them, and the same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evilly continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both man and beast and everything else except for Noah found grace. Listen, he said, you're just humans, and I'm not always going to strive with you. You're fighting against God, and I'm tired of you fighting against me. I've been trying to straighten you out, trying to stop your violence, trying to stop your immorality, and your thoughts are only evil continually. I'm striving to get you back to follow me. It wasn't that long ago, you're in the Garden of Eden. You're fighting against me. I'm not always going to fight with you, man. God, you know, knock it off. Knock it off. All right, you know what? That's it. I'm done. Noah, build an ark. I'm destroying all of them. God will eventually say enough. By the way, he'll eventually say enough with you and I. God comes to a point where he steps back and says, enough. I believe sometimes Christians die because of that. God says, you sin enough, you're not going to follow me, I'm tired of fighting with you. Bye. Untimely deaths. God will not always fight with you. God says, I've fought with you, I've spoken to your heart, I've striven with you, I will not strive with you forever. I'm going to punish you. I'm letting my wrath out. God will not always strive with mankind. How long would the Lord put up with your wickedness? Numbers chapter 14. You'll see this God at a certain point, several times in the Bible, say enough. You know what? I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm going to destroy you. God at certain times just says that. I will not put up with your wickedness anymore. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Fear them not. Or the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the whole congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle congregation before the children of Israel. God said, I'm mad. I want you to go in. And then he comes down there and says, enough of that. Verse 26, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard their murmurings of the children of Israel, that they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. God says, how long am I going to put up with them? No more, I'm tired of them. You don't know where that line is. God has not come and right in the sky. I'm sick of trying to get you to do that. And the children of Israel were more accountable because they knew. I'm not talking today about how long is God going to put up with the wicked homosexuals. I'm not preaching tonight as how long is God going to put up with the God haters and the atheists. I'm not talking about them tonight. How long is God going to put up with his people? Amen. And speak to them and say, get it straight. Knock it off. Quit being wicked. Separate yourself from the world. Quit playing games with me. Quit acting like serving me is a casual thing. Quit with your sin. Quit not having time for me. How long am I going to put up with this? I've been speaking and speaking and speaking to you, and you make a joke of it, and you keep on doing it. How long will God put up with your wickedness? Well, someday God said, I'm tired of it. I'm punishing you. I'm going to whack you real hard. How long will God do this? God gets tired of it. Turn to the book of Psalms. God's got a limit. We don't know what that limit is. But how long, God says, will I put up with you? How long are you going to continue to play games? How long are you going to go and not follow me? How long are you going to talk about you're going to pray someday? How long are you going to keep watching the bad stuff? How long are you going to keep your bad habits? How long are you live in rebellion with your authorities in your life? How long are you going to keep on not reading your Bible? How long are you going to make excuses for not praying? How long are you going to keep thinking those evil thoughts? How long am I going to put up with that, God says? How long am I going to put up with you? How long will I put up with your wickedness? There is a limit. Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Psalms 4, 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Sons of men, how long are you going to keep on doing wicked things and think I'm not going to do anything? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's coming back. You planted a crop. God will not be mocked. You will not get the end of life and say, ha, I got away with it and I never got punished. No, God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. And he might not put up with your wickedness much longer. He may one day say, I'm tired of you playing games. How long have I been speaking to you about getting saved? You knew you weren't saved and you didn't get saved. You sat there in a Bible preaching church. How long are you going to continue to not go soul winning? How long are you going to continue to think like that and act that way and make a sport of your sin? How long before I pour out my wrath upon you? How long are you going to be wicked, you sons of men? How long will you turn my glory, the glory of God, into shame and embarrass the name of Christ? Psalm chapter 82. Just because a preacher doesn't know about it doesn't mean it ain't going to get you. It ain't going to bite you. God's watching. I don't see everything. God does. Your wife might not see everything. God does. Your husband might not see everything. Your parents might not catch you. God will. God won't put up with it forever. Psalms 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges them among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the person of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. How long will you do unjust things and hurt people? And how long will you continue to do that? God is judging. God stands up in heaven and says, I judge everything. I see everything. I'm the judge of all flesh. I will see everything and fix it. You will not continue to be unjust. How long would the Lord put up with what he's spoken to you about? I don't know what God spoke to you about tonight. I don't know if God has just one person in this room and he says, you know what? I'm done with it. Been long enough. I've been patient and merciful enough. I'm done with it. How long are you going to keep on doing that? You want to push me, God says? How long you want to push this? How long? How long will you continue to think that your wickedness will be put up with by a holy God? How long, O Lord? Secondly, how long will you halt in the middle? Let's go back to 1 Kings. How long will you halt between serving God and following the world? How long will you say, I believe in God, but not really follow him? How long in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21? And Elijah came, 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long are you going to sit there and say, you know what? Yeah, I probably ought to be a good Christian. Don't halt there. Don't straddle the fence. If God's God, serve him. If God's not God, go have fun. If Baal's God, serve Baal. What is your God? How long are you going to halt between the world and God? You adulteresses and adulteresses, know ye not friendship with the world is enmity with God. How are you going to serve God or mammon? Jesus said, you cannot serve God or mammon. Or is your God money? Fine, go serve it. Make all your money. Hope there isn't a judgment. Hope you don't have to stand and face God someday and live for money. That's fine if that's what you want to do. Or do you want to serve God? You cannot serve God and money. How long halt you between two opinions? Is the Bible true? Then you better get ready to face God. If the Bible's true, God will judge us. If the Bible's true, if you don't witness to somebody, they go to hell and the blood's in your hands. How long halt you between two opinions? Fence sitting is not comfortable. Get on one side of the fence to the other, folks. How long are you sitting there saying, you know what, I really ought to be a good Christian? Then do it. I'm going to someday. You've been saying that for a long time. Get in or get out, God says. How long do you halt in the middle? Number three, how long before you learn from the rebuke of God? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. How long before you learn from the rebukes of life? How long before you learn from the rebukes of life? Proverbs chapter 1. This is a scary one here. Verse 21. It says, she crieth, talking about wisdom, in the chief concourses and the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and fools delight in their scorning, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched forth my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction is a whirlwind. Then distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. There's an amazing story, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 28. It shows that sometimes rebuke hits you and says, hey, wake up, knock it off. This guy's life today was sitting there saying, your life is not good. Don't you want to straighten it out? God sent me along. God told me to go talk to him and say, go try to help him. And he said, no, I'm fine with the way I am. Can't you look at your life and say, life's rebuked me and said I'm being foolish? I'm not living the kind of life I had to have. How many times your life had to get to be a failure? How many times you have to sit there and be frustrated that you know you failed because you did wrong? Don't blame God for everything. When you've done your best and God allows something bad to happen, that's different. But when you know I should have done this and God's punished me because of this, then God is rebuking you. But many people will go back and do this again, and that's the definition of insanity. doing the same thing over and over and thinking something different is going to happen. And sometimes life rebukes you and says, you're playing games. Knock it off. You're doing this bad thing and you're getting caught for it. How many people do we see in the public eye who go out and do some terrible, immoral thing and then do it again? They do drugs, somebody we know and love, and then their life falls apart and they don't learn from it, and then they do them again. They have an alcohol problem and they don't learn from it, then they do it again. They go out and they get a DUI, and what do? They get a second DUI. People go out and they don't learn from the rebuke of life. Sometimes your marriage fell apart, and you go out and get married again and have the same you and get divorced again. Your children are rebuking you, not by their words, not their screaming and yelling at you, but they aren't doing what's right. And life is rebuking you, and you're not saying, what am I doing wrong? I need to learn. You're saying, those stinking, rotten kids. Many people, their finances fall apart, and they say, man, this is wrong. I'm unlucky. No, you're bad with your finances. You're not spending your money wisely. You're being lazy, not working hard. You're not being diligent. You're not doing what you ought to do, and that's what's rebuking you. Do you want to keep on doing that the rest of your life? Do you want to keep running up your credit cards? Do you want to keep going spending money you don't have? Do you want to keep on going and blowing your money? Do you want to keep on cutting out early and not working when you're behind and you could work extra hours? Do you want to continue to get rebuked in life and not learn from it? God sometimes punishes you, and all of a sudden you get a hard thing happen in your life, and that's not always because you're doing wrong, but sometimes, by the way, when God gives you a problem and he chastens you, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he tells you why. When I'm going through a trial because of my sin, I know why I'm going through that trial. Something keeps coming to my mind. When I'm going through a trial because no reason and God just let me go through a trial of faith, I go, Lord, I think I'm right with you. Lord, if there's anything between me and you, show me. But I feel very peaceful that God is taking me through this trial and he's going to carry me through it. But when I'm troubled in my spirit and God's speaking to me about a certain thing, and by the way, he has to do that because I don't always learn, I know why. The Bible says the Lord will even reveal this unto you. God's given us his spirit. And he'll tell you, you're going through this because of this. And God will speak to your heart and say, you failed again. Yeah, you're putting on a good show, but you know what? You are a failure inside because you are not learning from my rebuke, and I'm going to teach you. It got so bad in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's turn there. 2 Kings and chapter 6. Israel is surrounded by an enemy. There's a terrible famine because no food can get out. And they're selling the donkey's head. They've eaten the rest of the donkey. And they sell the donkey's head. That's not a lot of good meat for $650, $700 for the donkey's head. And people are starving to death. And the king is walking through the city. And he's upset, the king of Israel. And Israel had forsaken God. And that's why the city was under siege and the nation was doing terrible. And everything's terrible in the city. And a woman says, King, what are you going to do about this? Verse 26. And the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, and there cried a woman in a hit and said, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? He's being sarcastic. He says, God can't help us. How can I help you? What do you want me to bring food out of the barn for you? What's the matter? She says, well, me and a lady made a deal yesterday. And we took our babies and we said, you know what? We're out of food. We're going to eat our babies now. We're so hungry. And yesterday we ate my baby. And today we said, okay, let's eat your baby. And she's not letting us eat her baby. And the king fell on his face and put on sackcloth and says, oh, my soul, it's terrible. I can't believe this. Why did it have to get that far where people are eating babies? Why do you have to get whacked so hard by God, some people, before? I mean, it has to get bad for some people. Bad. You have watched God humble people, at least try to humble people, and you've watched them never cry out to God and fall on their face. Haven't you? But you know, the sad thing is me as a person who knows the Bible pretty well, and you as people who know the Bible pretty well and know what's right and wrong, and God speaks to you and I, and this message is for Thursday night crowd tonight. Maybe there's something where you say, I know better and I'm foolish. You know what? I've treated this kind of lightly because I don't kill people and I don't do anything really, really bad. Maybe God's saying tonight to you, how bad am I going to have to whack you before you're going to, why don't we just stop this before we're eating babies? You wanted to see the amazing thing about this? Verse 29, they boiled my son and eat him. Verse 30, and it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth upon it with ashes. Look, he's riding the precipice of getting everything right. He's right on the precipice. He's saying good night. When they were repenting of their sin, they would put on sackcloth and ashes and say, I've sinned, I've done something terrible, and God is punishing us. And God was. And Elisha came and brought them the message, you're going to go through this terrible time, and things are going to go terrible for you if you don't repent. And he came to that precipice of repenting. He said, I can't believe this. They're doing this in Israel. And he ripped his clothes and put on the sackcloth and ashes, and he's right there on the precipice of repenting and becoming great and getting right with God and the nation being delivered. And he doesn't do it. Verse 31. They saw him a sackcloth of ashes. Then he said, God do so and more also to me. If the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand upon him this day. Oh, it's the preacher's fault. You lost it, buddy. And the nation didn't get delivered. When God is working and the people aren't listening, I'm amazed how bad the guys, the messengers, and ladies, the lady messengers become. Can I tell you, you don't get right with God, you don't change your life, you can blame me all you want. You ain't getting out of the famine. Unless I went and shoved something down your throat, or unless I went and drug you and made you not do something right, you can't blame me. I got my own stuff, and I'm not blaming you. You're looking at the reason I mess up. Me. And you know what? People go and they blame the preacher. If the preacher wouldn't have done this, I wouldn't be doing this. No, there ain't the preacher that can make me go do wrong. Did you hear what I said? There ain't the preacher that can make me go do wrong. And by the way, this happens occasionally in our church. Somebody decides their heart gets hard, and you'll see it if you stay in this church very long. It'll happen because it happened in the book of Acts. It happened all over the Bible. Their heart will get hard, and all of a sudden, I will be a bad guy because all of a sudden they're backsliding, and I'll have changed, and I'll be against them and trying to ruin their life. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to teach me. They're going to go back to their old life. Boy, you sure taught me being a drug addict again. Oh, you went back to jail? Huh, you taught me. Are you crazy? Don't look at me if you ruin your life. Don't look at your godly friend who comes and tells you, hey, get right with God. Don't get mad at that Christian who walks up to you and say, you know what, you're messing around. God is sending someone to rebuke you. If you get mad at them and demonize them, it doesn't make your sin right. It doesn't mean God's going to quit punishing you. And Elisha, I'm going to cut his head off because these people are starving to death. Elisha's the one who can make it rain again. He's the one who's doing God's will. Listen, do not get to the point where you say, well, I would have been better if only my mom. I would have been better if the preacher. I would have been better if the church. I would have been better if my friend wouldn't have. Well, if they wouldn't have done that. No, 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 no. God rebukes individuals. And if your life is falling apart, look in the mirror. Get right. How long will God put up with it? Look at Proverbs, one more verse, 29. I don't say this because I don't love people. I'm not mad at all tonight. But God wanted a very hard message and to say, how long? You don't know when God's going to be tired of it. You don't know when God's not going to think your sin is funny anymore and start rebuking you for it. You don't know when God's... By the way, if God's rebuked you, he's given you time. And the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because God's merciful. God's loving if you repent. 1 John 1:9. And many other verses. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall be destroyed suddenly, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God says, I will rebuke you. And if you harden your neck and say, no, I'm not going to turn that way. God says, I'm rebuking you. I rebuked you with life. I rebuked you with preaching. I rebuked you with my spirit inside of you. Listen, you harden your neck, and you say, I'll just keep doing this one thing. It's not that big a deal. And God said, I'm going to destroy you if you don't knock it off. And there'll be no remedy for it. What it says. When will that happen? Will it be in 10 years? I don't know. Could be in 10 minutes. Or 10 years. I don't know what happened where God said, the world, you know, I'm flooding the world. Enough. We don't read of any event. My spirit will not always strive with man.
I want you to pick those of you who know better. If I'm rebuking you, how long do you think I'm going to put up with your wickedness? How long will you halt in the middle? How long will you not learn from your rebuke? Listen, people need to repent, not play games. If God spoke to your heart tonight, if he talked to you about somewhere in your life tonight, I would just go get it right. You don't need to pay $1 million. You don't need to come say, Pastor, you're the greatest guy in the world. You don't need to go and do anything except for go to God and say, Lord, I repent. It's wrong. And Lord, you've been speaking to me, and I'm not going to take a chance of being destroyed tonight. I know what the problem is. I know. Listen, when I do wrong, I know it. I might not think it's as bad as somebody else's wrong, and that's my fault trying to justify it. But you know what? I know what I'm doing wrong. I don't need to blame somebody else. I don't need to say it's not that bad. I need to say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. It's me. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would learn to listen to your rebuke, and we would not stand there and have you say to us, how long will this people rebel against me? How long will these people not repent? How long will you not humble yourself? Lord, me today you have some people at Open Door who say, Lord, I hear you speaking, and I'm responding. Lord, if there's somebody who's just not going to listen, Lord, if there's just somebody who just wants to keep a hard heart and make a joke and make a slight out of their sin and not repent, not even strive against it, I understand, Father, and you understand people who have a lot of bad things in the background, a lot of issues to struggle with, who are striving against sin. But Lord, sometimes you're rebuking us and we're not listening, and we don't think our little thing's a big issue. Some people even know your will for their life and they won't follow it, and they keep on just kind of casually putting it off. Lord, I pray tonight we would not have you looking at us and saying, how long are you going to do this to me? How long am I going to strive with you? Lord, I pray tonight we would be repentant and you'd say, good, you listened. I'm glad I don't have to keep striving with you because I love you. Lord, I pray tonight that would happen, and I pray tonight we would repent. If there's just one person with one little issue that all of us don't look at something big, but you're speaking to them and you've been talking to us, Lord, I pray tonight we get it right. We pray this in Jesus' name.